Welcome to season 5 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Mindfulness Pilates teacher of over 25 years and author. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain to feel good, as well as working through stress to calm, with relaxation, positive affirmations and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. Feel stronger, happy and calm. Okay, so big welcome to today's podcast. Today's episode is all about how my hips drove me to self-care. So I'm really pleased to introduce you to Angiris Oro. So very big welcome to the podcast today. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
That's all right. So I'm just going to share a little bit about you. Angiris is an integrative healer and founder of the School of Integral Health. You're a kinesiologist and you're also a teacher of kinesiology, teaching right from beginners right up to instructor level as well. And you can really delve into your work more, obviously, in the show notes as well today. But a little bit about you personally as well. You shared before we started chatting today that you've got a very sort of eclectic background. You lived in India for your first 20 years. You live here in the UK, though. In beautiful Bedfordshire, right near the Hertfordshire border in the UK with your two daughters, husband, and is it three cats? Did I get that right? That's amazing. So we're going to talk about your Pilates journey, about you, and also about it's your 50th birthday next year. And we're going to share about your bucket list. And I really feel this is going to inspire you listening as well, because it's quite a bucket list that you have. So we're going to talk about that a bit as well today. So where should we start? So what was the reason that you started coming to Pilates? It was because you kind of shared it was about your hips and hip pain.
Yeah, so I've been having problems with my hips. I've always been able to sit quite easily cross-legged, and you know, I've done yoga and all of those kind of things, but then over the last few years I've not been able to take care of myself particularly well. And I started to find that when I was trying to sit cross-legged, I would start to have real problems in my hips, and I was having a less than ideal sleeping arrangement, and it started to get to the point where I was really disturbing my sleep. So I decided, I met you at a network B2B event, and I thought, right, that's it, that's my time to go and start Pilates. I'd heard about Pilates about 20 odd years ago, probably when it was first, even, you know, very, very, very many years ago. I had colleagues at work who used to do Pilates, but somehow it was never in my radar and never came up. Mm-hmm. So I've only just started it for the first time in January. It's made a massive difference.
Yeah. So how are you now in comparison? Obviously, I know how you are, but, you know, what have you found has helped you with that?
My hips very quickly, actually, sorted themselves out. I mean, they were still a little bit where I couldn't sit cross-legged for too long, but that night pain that I was experiencing disappeared quite quickly. That it stopped bothering me at night. And so as long as I was kind of listening to my body and the way that my body wanted me to move, then actually I'm pretty much pain-free.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like your body was just desperately needing and wanting sort of this type of movement in its life. And it's like I do just say that sometimes, like saying happy birthday to the body when you find something that's like, oh, it, like, you know, that sort of works. But it's one of those things, though, of keeping it going. It's not like, oh, do this for a week or 2 weeks or even a month. It's kind of a sort of a longer term form of supportive exercise, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And that's sort of what I found. It's like, yes, it was very quick that it made the difference. And I've kind of become aware of muscles that I'd kind of forgot about, particularly in my lower abdomen. And that as I started to do those exercises, and that I can keep, but I have to keep doing them. It is a kind of daily practice of it. Yeah. Keep the body going. But I don't mind that, because in a way I have this vision that, you know, a very long line of women who've lived to a very great age, you know, right up into their mid-90s. So if I want to kind of have a healthy life, if I'm going to live that long, I better be able to have the body that does it as well. So kind of having an exercise regime that's a daily practice, that means that I will have a better chance of making it to that age in more fit, being fit and capable of doing things, rather than this use it or lose it. And it kind of becomes more important the older we get.
Yeah, it's so true, because it's so true. I think, you know, I think one of my sayings, I haven't said it for a while, but each week, each month, each year, each decade, we can get stronger and support our bodies with movement if we actually bother to do it. And and a lot of people are quite surprised when they work with me like that. I'm encouraging them to practice every day. But I mean, seriously, what is the point of just doing something once a week? You're not, and especially something like this, because, you know, you can go to your lesson, yes, keep improving and keep getting stronger and learning different things or different bits of equipment and et cetera, but it would be such a shame if somebody didn't learn how to practice and empower themselves when they need it, or, you know, at different times, or incorporating it into your work, or doing bits and bobs at the desk, or a bit of desk stretching, or tips to sleep better at night, or just simply incorporating it into your lifestyle. I was helping a friend lift a dressing table yesterday. And she's not a client or anything, so she hadn't heard me talk like this before. I was like, I was saying it to myself as well, as, you know, to make sure she looked after her body too. But I was like, bend the knee, straight back, tummy in, use your pelvic floor, breathe. We're lifting this thing in and out of a car and then to her, you know, her new home. And some of it is a bit awkward, you know. So you kind of got to think about what you're doing with your body. So it's amazing that you're, you know, practicing regularly. It's really great. Something that you said though is that the hip pain brought you along, but then that brought self care into your life. How did that come into your life?
Well, I mean, I've just come out of some three very, very stressful years with my daughter in terms of her health. And with that stress, it meant that my ability to look after myself was straight out the window, right? I mean, and sometimes it was like the diet went out the window. I was eating rubbish. It was, you know, sometimes it's enough to kind of get through one day to the next. But when you're kind of, the body finally kind of goes, starts screaming at you in pain, you know, actually it needs to be, you know, I do need to take care of myself. And so joining the Pilates was sort of the first step towards getting better with that self-care and bringing the physical back into my life and making sure that I'm doing the regular exercises that I need to do to keep my body moving. Because actually, if my daughter does still need me, if my body's broken, I'm not going to be much use to anybody. So I started having this phrase with her: I have to put on my own oxygen mask first. So I, you know, like, I do need to take care of myself so that I can take care of you. So the Pilates and doing the self-care in terms of doing the exercises was the beginning. Then I started to make some more smaller tweaks and changes into getting my diet a little bit better in shape. I've still got a long way to go, but there's that, and also taking time out to make sure that I could start even meditating again. Because all of those things, meditating, journaling, all of that kind of stuff that I used to be quite good at, it all disappeared. Kind of getting my body back on track. It was like, no, if I don't look after myself and put my own oxygen mask on, then very quickly I'm not going to be good to anybody.
It's very true. And I think back to what you're saying about that, about living to a ripe old age and being able to do the things you want to do and have the body. You know, I mean, I teach some clients who are elderly, but they might have been former athletes, but they've ended up with multiple injuries or hip replacements. It's not a guarantee if somebody's 40 or even an athlete in their younger years when they get into later life. And I think, or it's a bit of a shock if somebody isn't looking after their body enough and then they're having falls. But often they're having those unnecessarily because it's just been a decline in not having strengthened their body enough and their hips enough and their legs enough and worked on their balance enough. And all they actually need to do is come along to my lessons and practice a lot. When I say a lot, daily, not necessarily loads, yeah. But
I certainly think that that's quite true, in the sense that particularly when you've got people who do, you know, quite a lot of athletic stuff and, you know, high intensity exercise in one form, whether they're running or badminton or basketball or football or any of those kind of things, that care that actually they're not necessarily even listening to their body, particularly because they've taught how to push through pain and push through sort of injuries to kind of keep building themselves. And that creates a stiffness and a tension in the body. So coming back to something like Pilates, where you actually learn how to listen to what the body needs and to strengthen the exact right muscles to hold everything together, it also creates it's very relaxing, and it's done with the breath work. So you're doing it in a much more progressive and strengthening way that's more long lasting, rather than having the kind of injury mindset, right? So I know specifically, because I often get a lot of tension in my shoulders and neck as well, and that when we were first doing the shoulder rolls, you know, I'd be doing big rolls like that, like right up there, and actually you taught me to kind of come down, and actually it used to make it much tighter. It used to make everything a lot tighter. Then you said, no, just start gently. Mm-hmm. And as we've kind of gone over the months of me gently easing out the rolls in my shoulders, mm-hmm. I now can do bigger rolls without it creating that tension thing. So just like reading the body and actually building up to it from very, very small movements is extraordinarily powerful.
It is, actually, because I have people coming along. I had a new client join recently. And they've done Pilates before, they've done all sorts before. In fact, they do tons of cardiovascular exercise, but they might be injury free, which of course is great, but you can't come along to Pilates and just do these great big circles with your legs or whatever and do it all wrong. It's just like, and the core stability is, there's no core stability going on because there's no body awareness and everything is just like, you know, a bit of belly dancing and it's like, there's no core stability going on. So even with an injury-free client, I start with those absolute basics and I'm like, slow down, tiny marble size to start with, and then get, and it doesn't mean they can't build up to football size or whatever, but, you know, they've got to get the technique and the alignment and not just do a load of rubbish. I mean, just don't bother. Just don't bother is what I have to say about that one. But yeah, as you say, tiny movements. Or yeah, I taught an elderly lady recently as well, like you were saying, with the new one and with the shoulder circles. I mean, she could hardly move to start with. But as you say, she started tiny. And like you said, you could build yours up. And yeah, and it makes a huge difference. But the listening to the body thing, I mean, I'm glad your body was screaming in pain and you listened to your body. But some people, it takes longer for that listening to the body to understand what that means. There was a business friend of mine, and she was sharing of the Pilates that she went to, and even though she's injury free, they were saying work through pain. And it's like, well, actually, this actually wasn't just physical muscles working, this was actually uncomfortable for her with the resistance they were saying to keep going with, let alone her poor mum was who tried it too. So it's always a work in progress, but I think like clients come to see you for that wisdom, you know, they come to see me to make sure that they sort out the technique and get the results that they're after, and not a one size fits all approach. So how do you find, you said, so we've got you back doing 1 minute journaling in class. Have you found that?
Oh, I love that. I love the 1 minute journaling, and it just does create a space of focus and stuff in the, and very often whatever comes up on the day feels quite relevant, and it's nice to do that. But it has also encouraged me then to realize that for my own journaling, that I had this idea in my head that to journal, I needed half an hour, I needed an hour, I needed to, you know, be able to have all of this time. Whereas actually, even in a minute, I could write three or four quite, you know, personally useful, profound sentences that kind of made sense of my day for me or whatever, and that it was, or deconstruct whatever it was that I was feeling at that moment that I just needed. So it's brought that back into my life in terms of, yes, I can do that every morning, or if I want to do it, I can do it in the evening or whatever. And just, it doesn't take much. 1 minute is enough.
Yeah, it's amazing how powerful, as you say, 1 minute can be incredibly beneficial. But it doesn't, as you say, it doesn't mean something you can't do it for longer. I mean, I'm an absolute fan of journaling. I'm such a writer. And if I haven't got a pen in my bag, I just don't feel right. I really don't feel right. If I'm without a pen, I'm having to go to a shop and buy a pen because it's like, I've got to then walk to a shop to get a pen. So every time I see you, we pick a positive affirmation card message of the day, which we always do on the podcast for both you and for you listening. So today's affirmation is, my life is magic. I think of one way my life is magic right now. So Angiris, what does that mean to you today?
Well, I've been actually quite actively working with magic for the last 2 or 3 years in sort of a manifesting type of way, but in terms of also just actively making decisions that change things. And when you kind of make decisions very clearly and then you watch how the universe unfolds it, for me, it often feels like magic, right? And it's not like, it's not complicated to do, that if you just set an intention to make something happen, then if you let that unfold, the magic just, it unfolds magically. So yes, my life is magic, right? And the things that I experience is very magical. And it comes back to what we were talking about, to my 50 things that I want to do before I'm 50. And I started that list earlier this year. And I just said, okay, these are the things. And the number of things that have just spontaneously and randomly just happened, I don't have to put a lot of effort into making things happen. So it feels like magic. So my life does feel very magical.
Mm. Yeah, I found it so. We had a wonderful chat after class 1 week, and you were telling me all about your 50 things on your bucket list. Now, we're not going to cover them all today, but although I have to say, it could make another really good podcast episode, but we're definitely going to talk about some of them today. So I think we will flow into this right now. So here's some of the things that are on your bucket list: an immersive art experience, going to concerts, play, being a guest speaker, going on a retreat, horse riding, redecorating your house, sorting your hip and elbows out, polo, ballet, reading not one but 50 books, traveling and going to Glastonbury. The list just goes on and on. One of the things I found very, very interesting is that you're going on a silent retreat.
I am.
Tell us all about it.
Well, it's I had on my bucket list I wanted to go on a retreat, and I hadn't specified specifically what retreat. Mm-hmm. But then I remembered suddenly that as a teenager, I had heard about this retreat, which is called Vipassana, which is 10 days silent meditative retreat, which is very, very intensive. And in the back of my head, I've always wanted to do this retreat. And I just went online and looked at the dates and realized that it's happening in Suffolk, which is only an hour and a bit away from me, so it's not far away. And I got a set of dates which worked really perfectly for me in terms of my husband's shift schedule, so he's available to look after my daughter. And I booked on it, and it can be quite booked up in terms of places, but there was a place, and I just, yeah, I got in. So now I'm scared, because 10 days of silence is intense, very full on, and I'm not necessarily a silent person. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also a little bit scared about whether I've... And it's a lot of sitting, so my Pilates is definitely going to be coming in handy there in terms of making sure that I keep those hip muscles strong for all of that sitting that I'm going to have to do. And kind of definitely keeping that up, because otherwise it's going to be very painful.
Yeah, your daily 6 minutes and doing extra hip back gentle release is going to really support you with that. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I'm excited to hear back on this. And so the horse riding one, have you done that one yet?
I have, actually. Well, I sort of done it. It's not complete. I've started the process. So I had horse riding on my list, and I was just chatting to one of my clients And without really thinking about it, I was just chatting. And then, of course, it turns out that she runs stables. And she said, oh, well, I can help you with that. And I was like, it was not just like I wanted to go horse riding. I wanted to kind of have an experience and kind of go for a ride through a park and, you know, enjoy the countryside with it. And she's like, oh, no, we can make that happen. But because she runs a riding school, she's doing it really properly. And I haven't been on a horse since I was a teenager. And when I did it when I was a teenager, I did it bareback riding. So, of course, over here it's going to have to be in a saddle and I'm going to have to remember. So I've gone and had my first lesson in the arena, like with her, like showing me, actually reminding me how to sit on a horse and how to sit on a horse with a saddle and how to. And we're going to have a couple of attempts of actually reacquainting me with horse riding. And then we'll do a nice tour, a hack around the park, so to speak. But it's interesting that what's then developed out of that is I did that experience with my daughter, who has special needs, and she's very animal phobic, and she's not, you know, she won't do anything yucky or but she got on that horse, and you see the before picture and you see the after picture, and she's just fallen in love. And so she's now doing work experience at the stables every week and doing all the mucking out and everything because she's fallen in love, so she can have riding lessons too. So it's turned into quite a journey for us.
Oh my goodness. I just got tickles all over my body with that. That is just amazing. So something that's on your bucket list has then had that most profound, incredible effect on your daughter. I think they're the most beautiful animals, horses. I just dreamed of horses when I was young, and once a year I got to go pony trekking, so it's going on my bucket list to go pony trekking. I just think they're beautiful souls. I went on this amazing, not recently, but in my Hertfordshire days, which obviously is where I'm from, I went on this beautiful workshop with horses, but it was about communication with horses and it wasn't about riding them. So that was really special, actually. So, yeah. So you wanted to be a guest speaker. Tell us about this. What happened?
I don't know. I just decided, it was one of those things. It was like, you know, throw out there, what are the things that I, you know, how to challenge myself. I'm not very good necessarily at public speaking or putting myself out there. And obviously in the work that I do need to be better at marketing myself. And everybody's on social media now in terms of taking TikToks and selfies and Instagrams and doing all of that kind of stuff. And I really struggle with all of them. So I thought, well, if I put myself out there and I start off as a guest speaker. So it was just on my list. So and then randomly out of the blue, I got a call from somebody who said, oh, I do this YouTube channel podcast thing, and would you come on and talk about what you do? So I did that. And then I've mentioned to you that I did that, and you said, oh, well, come on this one. So now I've done it twice.
See, all you got to do is say, I want to be a guest speaker. And then lo and behold, you get an instant invitation. That's magic. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good, actually, isn't it? That's pretty good. And
My concerts were magic, right? Even my concerts were magic, because it was like my daughter was really a big fan of One Direction, but we've never been able to go to a One Direction concert because they're no longer together. But she has lots of individual, they've all do their own individual concerts. But because of her condition, she can't be in front of flashing lights, and all their concerts are really flashy. And then so we booked to go to a different concert, and then we'd heard about one of the boys doing a comeback concert. He hasn't been on stage for like 6 years, and we got an invitation. Like, he was having a concert in London that night, his comeback concert, which was sold out, and it was that night at 7 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I got a call from a friend saying, do you want 2 tickets to go see him in concert? For free, just do you want to go? So my blessed daughter, she did everything that she could, and we had to sit outside for all the pre-acts because they were all quite flashy. But then in the concert, because of the kind of music he was releasing, it wasn't that flashy. So we had an absolutely lovely time. It was absolutely magical, and we ticked off going to see a concert.
yeah, that's just brilliant. And for you listening right now, what does this message mean to you today? I hope you're inspired by Angus's bucket list, because I really am. So my life is magic. I think of one way my life is magic right now, I created a vision board for myself. I went to my co-author and friend's vision board workshop earlier in the year. And I think the most magical thing about my vision board, it's just full of the sea, and I have moved to the sea 10 years ago. But one of the pictures on my vision board is just somebody sitting peacefully by the sea. And there's another one, I stuck my face on this lady who's by the sea, and she was just like so happy. And for me, it's magic when I'm like diving under the water and things like that, or just listening to the sounds of the sea. Or so that's what's the magic of my vision board, is what I'm embodying on a daily or regular basis, if that makes sense. So I might not ever do another vision board. I just might just have the sea and be that embodiment of magic of the sea, maybe. So back to a couple of other things with, we're going to do some breathing for you today. And do you want to tell us one of your favorite breathing techniques? And then we'll go into the breathing and join in together after. What's one of your favorite breathing you do at Mindfulness Pilates?
Well, actually, I think one of the things that really attracted me with Pilates when I did the taster session with you, which I did with my father. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, of course I do, yeah.
My father was visiting me and he's like, oh, I'll come in. And he did that. That was good fun. Yeah. But I like the fact that a lot of the time in the Pilates techniques, you do the actual movement on the out-breath rather than on the in-breath. So for me, that kind of coincides quite a lot with the kind of Buteyko breathing training that I'd done in the past. So it's all about that. But what I have really enjoyed, and where I find quite a lot of relaxation from doing, is when we kind of start the breath slowly and breathing in for two and out for two and in for three and out for three and out in for four and out for four. And it just kind of extends the ability to breathe, because a lot of the time I feel like we're all kind of quite tight and we might be breathing up here and with our tension and everything, and that one just opens it out slowly but slowly, and I find that very relaxing.
So we're going to go into that beautiful breathing technique now for you, so I really hope we'll join into. So I really hope you enjoy that. You can do this sitting, standing, lying down. You can do this on a walk as well with your eyes open. But it's up to you. Maybe don't do it whilst you're driving along. So really hope you enjoy that today. Remember to do it really gently, slowly. Listen to your body. Make sure that you don't breathe too deeply or don't go lightheaded or anything like that. That means you've overbreathed. So just nice and calm and gentle. Breathe into the tummy. I'll obviously talk you through as we go along properly. But if you do go lightheaded or anything, as I said, you've overbreathed, and just go back to breathing naturally. And once you feel good, start again and start much more gently and slowly. So enjoy. So welcome to today's beautiful breathing, calming time, especially for you. So sitting, standing, or lying down, all cozy, close your eyes. And you're going to breathe and relax. Breathing in for a count of one and out for a count of one, relax. Breathing into your tummy. And just let your breathing slow down and just start your breathing nice and gently, breathing into your tummy. On the next one, breathing in for two and out for two, relax. And again, this time in for three and out for three, relax. Let your tummy rise and fall and relax. Relaxing your head, neck, and shoulders. Your posture is really good but comfortable. And in for four and out for four, relax. Well done. Relaxing your back, hips, and thighs. In for five, out for five, relax. And then starting all over again, and taking your breathing back to one again. In for one and out for one, relax. And now in for two and out for two, relax. Relaxing more on each out breath. Well done. In for three, out for three, relax. Well done. In for four and out for four. Relax. Well done. And in for five, out for five. Relax. And enjoy this anytime. You just want a lovely little break for you. You can do this just for five or the 10 repetitions like you just did, or you can do it for longer if you like. Well done, and sending you lots and lots of love. Saying to yourself, I am loved, I am surrounded by love. So welcome back after the breathing. How do you feel afterwards? So it's a beautiful breathing technique. It's always inspired by the guests. So today's breathing technique is inspired by Angiris for you. So thank you very much for inspiring that today. And how do you find all the strengthening in the Pilates? Because obviously you strengthen your whole body, your upper body, you're strengthening your hips, you're strengthening your core stability, you're strengthening your back muscles. Then you have the opportunity to add in equipment if you want to. So how do you find the strength side of it?
Oh, no, I really enjoy that. Yes. And I like being able to kind of watch over time how my strength increases as well. And like moving from like the different levels, you know, I guess when I started back in January, I was doing level one techniques. Right. And then as I built the strength, I can feel in my body how more capable it is of doing like the next levels and moving up to level twos and threes and things like that. So, yes. And I certainly can feel that generally in my posture, in my kind of, and how I stand differently afterwards. And, you know, it's changed my relationship with my body and what I feel capable of doing based on that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now look at you now. Well, 50's the new 30 by the sounds of it. Honestly, it's very inspiring. It's very, very inspiring. So before we go today, have you got any parting words of wisdom of, because we've been talking about really self-care, and what does actually self-care mean to you?
I think self-care is like on all fronts, in terms of it's not just about, you know, doing exercise or something like that. It is making sure that you're very holistically looking after yourself. So it's self-care in terms of your mental health, it's self-care in terms of your physical health, it's self-care in terms of how what you eat. And that doesn't mean that I'm a kind of never eat chocolate fiend, right? Because I do eat chocolate. But it is kind of making sure that when you're really craving it, that you understand why you're craving it at that moment or what your body needs at that point. But it's also taking time out, making sure you've got space to relax from the stresses, because I think everybody lives really stressful lives and life creates additional stresses. So like in my case, I've got a child with special needs. So that means, you know, that creates a whole host of other challenges in my day that perhaps somebody who doesn't have a special needs child doesn't relate to. But that doesn't mean that they don't have their own challenges that don't mean anything to me, right? So I think when the more you can create self-care and space for yourself, that creates a lot of resilience. And also this idea for me is quite strong that you could be living until, you know, who knows, we're living longer and longer and longer now, that looking after yourself is also future-proofing yourself. You know, what you do today counts towards how you are in, you know, 20, 30 years from now.
Enabling you to make that happen, because even there was one podcast interview with a chiropractor, Rob Spratley, and, you know, bad posture can actually shorten the length of our life. And some people don't know that, or it can create heart conditions for some people. And some people don't know that, and it can make people unhappier. And there's so many reasons why. And then the weight of the 12 pounds-ish head, you know, if it pokes forwards into bad kyphotic round-shouldered banana posture, that then puts tension and stress on the spine and the muscles, and it goes out of alignment, and it's just like, oh! And there's so many reasons to look after it all, as you say. So many reasons. So many reasons. So before we go, and of course, another way people can look after themselves is obviously with kinesiology. Now, I'm a big fan personally for a very long time. I had kinesiology for myself every single month, but I think that's also a great support to have other modalities that, you know, that support everything. What's kinesiology done for you?
Oh, kinesiology for me is kind of like a way of life, right?
Yeah, that's probably what I would say as well.
Because the thing is that with kinesiology, yes, it's like it's the muscle testing and you have a conversation with the body and you kind of get to the root of what's going on for somebody. But the conversation is, you know, what's happening for you physically, what's happening with you emotionally, what's happening with you nutritionally, what's happening with you energetically. And so my brain is always thinking of all of those aspects. Everything has to be completely integrated, right? So it's like, for me, it is a way of life in the sense that I am always in every aspect. It's like, how am I taking care of this part of me? How am I taking that, you know, and it's not just one thing on its own. And when I'm working with a client, it's not just about, they've got a food sensitivity to something. It's why have they got the food sensitivity and what impact is that having on their physical and what impact is that having on their emotions? And actually, as you make the changes, then actually how it impacts their whole life and how they can go off and live their best lives.
It's absolutely fascinating. So if you do want to look after that side of things, then all of Angiris's details on her kinesiology and much more than that, or you actually, you know, want to expand your practice or learn how to do it for friends and family, then obviously you actually are a teacher of it as well. So my sister did one of your kinesiology courses and highly recommended it. If you want to take your health and preventative health to the next level as well, not just with the problems, then it's incredible. So check out Angiris in the show notes. Any parting words of wisdom you'd like to share about your Pilates journey or to help you listening today?
Kind of keeping with the theme of what we've been talking about, I guess, yeah. It's like just remembering how important self-care is and that doing 6 minutes a day of Pilates is good for self-care, as is doing 1 minute of journaling is good for your mental health, and taking those very, very small steps in lots of different ways is all vital for keeping us going and making us resilient in our health and well-being generally.
Yeah, that's great words of wisdom to finish with today. Thank you so much for being a guest. And please let us know if you listen to the podcast, and please let us know if you end up writing a bucket list too, or even just one thing on your bucket list, because I thought that was very inspiring. So thank you very much, Angiris. And lots of love.
Thank you for having me.
So thank you so much for listening to the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access the free healing meditation to reduce back pain to feel good in the 3-minute morning routine on my website. And you can book your Pilates tailored toolbox, one-to-one program, of course the Mindfulness Pilates classes on Zoom, and also stress calm workshops and programs on my website, or just get in touch at www.mindfulnesspilates.com.